Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's episode of Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, and flying solo currently again, talking NFL football from Sunday. Talked Packers Cowboys yesterday, and tonight we're going to go around the rest of the league and talk about week number six of the NFL season and talk about the good and talk about the ugly. And appreciate you all listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Evan Witt Sports. You can follow the network as well at Red Light Sports. A lot of action on Sunday going on. And before we do get into that, though, do got to share a Packer fans. Those that haven't heard, it looks like Eddie Lacy might be missing some time. I read possibility of IR. Second opinion, but I hear the possibility of Eddie Lacy going IR. It really sucks. And Lacy was starting to have a pretty solid couple games with Detroit and New York, and then he get the ankle injury, and now it's sounding like it's worse than a sprained ankle. Sam Shields got placed on the IR today. And now both of them will have to be on the IR for at least 8 weeks before they can come back. And only one can come back. So you got to wonder, after 8 weeks is up, week 14, who do you bring back? Do you bring back Sam Shields or do you bring back Eddie Lacy? That's a very interesting question. I think a lot of it falls on the severity of Lacy's ankle first. And secondly, I think it falls on how the guy they just traded for does. They traded for Nile Davis, former Arkansas running back, Kansas City Chief running back with the NFL most recently, and he'll be the guy Thursday night. Davis will be the guy Thursday night, and now Packers are going to be going all in on him, and then possibly Don Johnson as well from the practice squad. And for a career, Davis is at 775 yards and 11 touchdowns, 31 receptions for a career. Now, Davis is a guy, when coming out of college, I was high on Davis. I liked what Davis had to offer. He's fast, and he's pretty good size too at 5'11", 227. I like Davis, and we'll see if he can be a strong running back in Green Bay in the meantime. So hopefully he's able to pick up the offense pretty quick, and I'm guessing it's going to be a lot of 12 and the fullback pretty much telling him where he's going and who he's blocking and things like that. But the Packers needed him, especially with the Eddie Lacy news. And, he kind of fell down the depth chart in Kansas 5 years old, just turned 25 October 5th. And he fell down the depth chart in Kansas City with Jamaal Charles now healthy. And he was expendable. Now he's in Green Bay. And this move kind of reminds me a little bit about if, you go back in time, back in, I think it was 2007, there was a back by the name of Ryan Grant who was expendable in New York because the Giants had a pretty deep running back core and the Packers got him for a seventh-round pick, and the rest, they say, is history. And now it could be history repeating itself and they're giving a low draft pick to get Davis to basically be the guy for the next several weeks, and maybe he'll have the impact Ryan Grant had when he got traded for. Maybe he'll have that same impact and just go on a tear the next, I think Grant went on a 10-week tear, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to get your thoughts if you're listening live on Grant. I mean, on Davis. Give me your thoughts. 646-915-8254. That's 646-915-8254. Give me your thoughts on Davis. Are you happy with the trade? Are you pissed off? And I'm happy with the trade, but I'm pissed off that it happened now. You know, Packers went into week six with half a running back pretty much. And it looked like his ankle was worse than they thought, and yet they still play him on that ankle. They should have brought in another running back. They really did. And that could be a hint on who's going to get my poo the better one. The fact that they only had Eddie Lacy as the running back on Sunday. And now matters are looking worse then. So, games on Sunday. And if you want to call anytime, talk about some other games on Sunday or talk about Davis to Green Bay. Sam Shields on IR. Are you throwing in the towel yet? Are you still thinking Green Bay has a shot at the division, the shot at the playoffs? You're welcome to call in 646-915-8254. And let me know. Or you can always tweet at me at Evanwood Sports. Where is your panic level right now, Packer fans? Are you a 10? Oh, my God, freaking out. I don't, you know, whatever. Are you at a 5? Or are you at a 1? Everything's fine. Trust in the process. So where are you at, Packer fans, on your panic level? 646-915-8254 or tweet at me at Evanwood Sports or at Red Lights. Let's look at some games from week number 6, shall we? And some pretty good football being played. A couple of surprises. The Miami Dolphins somehow scored 30 points. I know they got a hurt Ben Roethlisberger in the game, but the Dolphins somehow scored 30 points. That was quite the shocker. Buffalo, since they fired their offensive coordinator, the offense has been on a tear. And Buffalo just crushed San Francisco. Final score of 45-16. But the first game I want to mention, Atlanta and Seattle. And I know we were talking, Troy and I, last week about Atlanta. Is Atlanta for real? Is Atlanta for real? Are they legit contenders or are they pretenders? This is a game for Atlanta to try to show that they are a contender. They had to play well. And for Atlanta, they had a really crappy first half. They were down 17-3 at halftime. Things did not look good for Atlanta at all. Passing game was struggling. The defense was the defense for Atlanta was struggling, and they just couldn't do anything offensively or defensively at all. They just couldn't. And the second half, Atlanta came out, showed that they weren't going to go away. Matt Ryan showing that he deserves to be in conversation for MVP. Just went on a complete tear, 335 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Julio Jones, 7 catches for 139, pretty much carried Atlanta back into this game. Atlanta scored 21 third-quarter points to take the lead, but they gave it up in the fourth quarter to Seattle, who scored twice, a Mitchell, Michael 1-yard touchdown run, and then a field goal to be the go-ahead points right there. But Matt Ryan had 3 touchdown passes in the third quarter after pretty much being shut down most of the game. And you know, Matt Ryan is an example that a quarterback can turn it around. Matt Ryan was struggling at times last year, especially after their 7-1 start. Matt Ryan was playing horrible football. And people are wondering if him and Kyle Shanahan was a good mix as quarterback / offensive coordinator. And since, you know, this year started, Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan are showing much more comfort with one another. Shanahan adjusted his play calling and his offense a little bit to better fit what Matt Ryan brings to the table. And as I said, Matt Ryan seemed a lot more comfortable. He seemed a lot more comfortable in this year's Atlanta offense. So Atlanta, I know they lost 26-24, but there was still some promising stuff in the game. The fact that they came back down 17-3 came out of the third quarter to take the lead 24-17, and then they ended up falling leading the game late. And one of it was a very questionable call. Julio Jones got interfered with by Richard Sherman. It was obvious pass interference, and the referees got it wrong. And I know referees don't want to decide the outcome of a game typically, but that was pretty blatant. That was a pretty blatant pass interference. That was ridiculous. And I can't even put into words how bad that pass interference was. It was bad. And the NFL the referees let Richard Sherman get away. So, that's game number one to talk about. Seattle, I guess the next question is Seattle legit? Seattle doing 4-1 right now, and people are expecting Seattle to have a bit of a downfall without Deshaun Lynch, and it's going to be a Russell Wilson show only. And Seattle quietly has a 2-game lead in their division at 4-1, and defense is playing very good football, and they're winners of 3 in a row. Rams have now lost 2 in a row. Cardinals won 2 in a row, and the 49ers, they've lost 5 straight. So Seattle's looking like a team that's running away a little bit with the division. So, next game I want to jump to is the Saints in Carolina, and I jumped to this one because I gotta ask, what is wrong with Carolina? Carolina last year's Super Bowl and NFC Super Bowl representative, and they're just bad this year. And tip your hat to Carolina for coming back after being down 24-10 at halftime. And Carolina came storming back in the fourth quarter, scoring 21 points to make it a game. But the Saints kicked a field goal, 52-yarder to get the win. But things are not looking good. Things are not looking good for Carolina right now, sitting at 1-5. And Carolina's trying to win the division for the third straight year, but they are now falling behind the 8-bar. Well, they're in last place in the division. And I know a couple years back they won the division under 500, but Atlanta's looking very dominant. The defense leaves some stuff to be desired, but Atlanta's looking like they're going to be running away from that division. And you got the Buccaneers and the Saints both sitting at 2-3. Carolina dug themselves in a pretty deep hole. And the question, do you stick a fork in Carolina? I'm going to say yes. The secondary for Carolina is bad. It's brutal. It's horrible. Carolina, they justified letting Josh Norman go because it was going to be the pass rush was going to help the young secondary. The pass rush was going to be there for the young secondary. The pass rush was going to get after the opposing quarterback and not give him any time to throw the football. Well, Carolina's not getting after the quarterback. They're not getting sacks. And Drew Brees had all day to throw. Completed 49 passes, completed 34 of them for 465. And you look at the sack total, ended up with a sack between two guys at the half a sack. They sacked Drew Brees once. They sacked him once. This is a defensive front four that was supposed to be getting after the quarterback, and they only got to him once. That's why Carolina's struggling. It's not the young secondary. It's not Cam Newton. It's the pass rush. The pass rush that was supposed to save them. That's why they justified letting Josh Norman go. Well, the pass rush ain't doing their job. Erle didn't have any, he only had 3 tackles, didn't get much pressure on the quarterback, and none of the defensive linemen really did. You cannot expect to beat a team like the Saints and Drew Brees if you don't get pressure on Brees. Brees is going to carve you up. he will carve you up and just, you know, basically destroy you like he did against the Panthers, 365 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Cooks, 7 catches for 173, he was open all day. All day he was open. Couldn't stop him. Could not stop him at all. And Carolina, I think it's safe to say Carolina's done. I don't think Carolina will not make the playoffs. They're going to fall into that group of teams that missed the playoffs the year after losing the Super Bowl. That's where they're going to go. That's where they're falling into. Next thing I want to talk about is the talk from Jerry Jones. Before the Packer-Cowboy game, Jerry Jones was talking about how Tony Romo would be his starting quarterback when healthy. And I'm very curious on what happened. I think Dak Prescott's the guy. I think you go with Dak Prescott until he is no longer efficient. I think you ride him. The young 23-year-old quarterback, he's playing damn good football. And I don't understand Jerry Jones' thinking. I'm going with Tony Romo when healthy. Well, Jerry Jones, you're the same guy when fans and the media and people were clamoring for Tony Romo and Drew Brees was long past his prime. You're the guy that was still pushing for, Drew Bledsoe. You're the guy that was pushing for Drew Bledsoe to keep the job. Well, Tony Romo got the job, and Tony Romo ran away with it. I think Tony Romo, great guy. He's done really good things in Dallas outside of not winning in the playoffs. Done some really good stuff. But unfortunately, you got to ride Prescott. You've got to ride him, and you got to, keep him in until he's no longer efficient. You look at his regular season stats right now. He's completing 68% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, has 4 fumbles, quarterback rating of 103.9. He's 125 and 180. And the thing is, even when he gets a little rattled, he still doesn't panic. The Packers, they got an interception off of him. He didn't panic. They forced a fumble. He didn't panic. They forced a second fumble. He didn't panic. Prescott played his game. And I know it helps when Prescott's playing behind that Cowboy offensive line, which is enormous, but you've got to keep riding him. You've got to keep playing Prescott until he's no longer effective. Jerry Jones, if he forces Jason Garrett to bench Prescott for Romo, they're going to lose the team. They're going to lose the locker room. The Cowboys, 5-1 right now, they're fighting for a division title. I'm sure a lot of people, when Romo got hurt, I'm sure most people did not think Cowboys would have a shot at the playoffs, a wild card, let alone the division title. But right now they're competing for that division title. And if they don't go with Prescott anymore, it's going to be dumb. It's going to be the dumbest thing the Cowboys can do. And I could gladly tell you that the Jerry Jones and the Cowboys and Jason Garrett would get the Pooh the Bat Award if they don't keep playing Prescott. You got to keep playing. You just got to. Like I said, it would be career suicide if you don't. It would be team suicide. And now we got to talk Pooh the Bat Award. I get to give my Pooh the Bat Award. And you look at the Pooh the Bat Award. There's a lot of good candidates out there. There's the Indianapolis Colts that going into the fourth quarter with about 3 minutes to go, I should say not going into the fourth quarter, but like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Colts had the probability of near 100% to win the game. The Colts had the game won. However, They blow the game. They allow two late Texans touchdowns for the Texans, tie it up, send it into overtime, and win it in overtime with the field goal. So the Colts, very good candidate for the Pooh the Bet Award. The Colts are a great candidate for that. The other great candidate, the New York Jets, they're just a hot mess right now, and they look like a hot mess yesterday. Now they got quarterback controversy. And the third one, Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. But before I go any further, I'm going to throw it to Troy, name my nominees, but going to throw it over to Troy. And how are things going, Troy?
Oh, if things are going any worse, I would say I've got some great luck. That's about it. So got a brand new car, and now a brand new car that's got to go into the shop again. So, yeah, that's how my day has been going. And last night I told you I'm willing to admit I took a little nap last night, and I set my alarm for 10:40 a.m. How does that sound? So,
well, technically,
yeah.
You didn't tell me you fell asleep yesterday. You told me I fell asleep yesterday.
Oh, well, yeah, when I woke up, I was a little out of it. I had one of my major headaches yesterday, and so I'm like, I'm going to lay down before the show. Set the alarm for 10:40 a.m. And then here's the best part. The best part is I never turned my alarm.
Set it for 10:40 a.m.
Well, here's the best part. I never turned the alarm off, so I'm working this morning, and my alarm goes off right in the middle of my office. Damn near jumped out of my chair, wondering what that was all about. And so, yeah, and then just issues tonight. I mean, I am just. It's one of those where I just need to open up a cold beverage and boom, just forget about life for a while. So.
Yeah.
Well,
because I know the feeling. I got to take my car in Monday or Tuesday to get some work done. So I kind of know the feeling. I have to get a new water pump, and I've been kind of putting it off because it's not a bad leak. It's like a slight leak, and it doesn't leak very bad, and it can go. I just got to add, coolant to it. But it's getting to the point that I gotta get it fixed. So I got that going for me. So I can kind of feel the pain a little bit. But I want to get your thoughts quickly before I do give my Pooh the Bet Award. I was talking a little bit about the Packers and trading for Davis with Eddie Lacy looking like he could be being placed on IR. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on that because I think, and I kind of hinted earlier in the show, and I definitely named him as my nominee, brave mistake on Sunday. When they didn't bring a running back in. They played the game with half a running back, pretty much. And then they had Ty Montgomery as the other running back. I think they made a huge, huge mistake with that. And now it looks like Lacy could be out for quite some time. And he will be able to play again this year if they put him on the IR, but he would have to sit out 8 weeks. And Sam Shields also was placed on IR today. And now, they could bring him back after 8 weeks. But the thing is, if they put Lacy on IR, they can only bring one of them back. So I want to get your thoughts on Davis and the Packers trade for him. And if you had your choice, and I know Davis makes this decision much, much more difficult or easy, but Lacy or Shields, who would you bring back off of IR if after 8 weeks, if you could only pick one?
Well, you can only pick one, right, if they put them on there? So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, you can only pick one. And like I said, I know Davis makes this a lot more difficult or a much easier decision depending on how he does these next several weeks. But talk about being thrown into the fire. Welcome to Green Bay, by the way. We're going to ride your ass into the ground on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Both of those play a critical role in the success of what the Green Bay Packers want to do. And not having Shields, I mean, the nice thing – I mean, I shouldn't say the nice thing because the secondary hasn't stepped up. We're a little deeper at secondary. And I'm not saying you can get by without a Sam Shields, but if the young guys can step up, which they haven't, you can – then take a look at it there. My concern with Sam Shields, though, Evan, and I said this before, I thought this was going to happen. I've said this to numerous people. I think Sam Shields is done. He's had multiple concussions, and if he's having lasting, lingering effects, his NFL career could be over. And I'm not sure if that's the guy you bring off IR if he's cleared to play, because he gets one more ding to the head. He may be one of those players that we say has to cut a career short due to head injury and head trauma. So I'm thinking you bring back Eddie Lacy. That is my quick thought there. And my thoughts and prayers go out to Sam Shields. You know, I had mentioned yesterday, you know, the reason I laid down is because I had one of my massive headaches. And those headaches come from the concussions that I suffered when I was playing before. And I get those, and it's the worst horrid thing in the world. And sometimes they're debilitating, and they just come out of the blue. And it's from head trauma. And this is an NFL player, and I feel bad for him. And I can empathize with these guys that have head injuries, because I had them, and it sucks. So I would think you can bring Eddie Lacy back, because he's a guy that offensively, when the whole offense is clicking, should make the offense move a little bit smoother. The problem is this offense is in such disarray right now that I'm almost kind of glad I missed the show last night, because I think I might have had to bite my tongue a million times after what I wanted to say. So I think you go with Lacy and bring Lacy back, because to be honest, after this year, even if they put him on IR, I think he's done enough in these short few games that some team's going to throw money at him. He's a big, bruising back that can change a game. He can wear defenses down. You may not have Eddie Lacy next year if you're Green Bay Packers. I think Evan's having some technical difficulties.
Okay, I'm good now. But, yeah, I think Lacy could be gone, or they may get Lacy at a really cheap price due to this injury, because he's not going to play his way out of Green Bay. But I think regards to who you bring back off of IR, I think it all depends on the situation. If Davis is dominating, if Davis, you know, I brought up, you know, like in 2007, the Packers traded for Ryan Grant, and he ended up having a 10-game stretch where he's huge. If Davis has that kind of impact that Ryan Grant had when the Packers traded a late-round pick for him, I think it makes the decision much easier. If the secondary is struggling, you keep Lacy on IR and you bring Shield, and you keep going Davis. But if you need running back help and the secondary is playing fine, then obviously you bring Lacy back. But, you know, it's a smart trade bringing Davis in. And now we got to talk who the better one. And I know tomorrow we get the preview Packers Bears. But, you know, my nominees, I had the Colts for their fourth quarter collapse, the Jets for just being a plain embarrassment to everything. You know, the Browns might be winless, but at least they're putting up fights in most of their games. The Jets are just atrocious. But I got to go with Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy for the Pooh the Better one. You know, how do you go to a game with a half a running back? That was what they won. Lacy was half a running back, and you went with one running back, and then you plan on using wide receivers as your running back. How do you not bring somebody in during the week? James Starks ended up having a torn meniscus and had surgery on Sunday. You should have known that he was probably going to be unavailable, and you probably should have brought somebody in, brought somebody up from the practice squad. I talked about this yesterday. DeJuan Harris, I don't know how, you know, what shape he's in, but he's available. And he knows Green Bay's system because he played for the Packers not long ago. It would have been a very seamless transition if he's in football shape. So I give it to Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson for the Pool the Bet Award, because I put the loss to the Cowboys, Troy, so I put it on their head on why the Packers lost that game for not having a running back available other than Eddie Lacy, who honestly – Lacy shouldn't have been playing on Sunday, especially if his ankle injury is worse than initially thought. What about you? Who the better one? Who do you give it to?
Well, this is people might look at me and say, "Whoa, well, what are you doing there?" But my Pooh the Bet award, Evan, goes to the officiating crew in the Seattle Atlanta game. They clearly missed the pass interference on Richard Sherman at the end of that game. Now, that does not mean the Atlanta Falcons would have won that game, but that was clearly a pass interference at the last on that throw to Julio Jones. Richard Sherman got away with robbing a bank. He clearly pulled his right arm down, and Julio Jones still almost made the catch. My Pooh the Bet award goes to that officiating crew. How do you miss that blatant of a pass interference call, especially at the end of the game? That was very blatant that you pulled his arm down, and just because Julio Jones is such a great athlete, got one hand up on the ball, and it looked like he almost made a catch, does not mean that you cannot call pass interference. Richard Sherman grabbed his right arm, and he could not even get his right arm up in the air. Had he been able to get his right arm up in the air, he would have made that catch. My Pooh the Bet award goes to that officiating crew. That was terrible. That was a terrible no call on Richard Sherman, Evan. That's my Pooh the Bet award. That was just terrible. I was watching that game, and I could have cared less about the outcome of the game, to be honest. That was just terrible. And so what was your thought there? Do you think it was pass interference or what?
Yeah, it was definitely pass interference. And I talked about it a little bit before you came on. That was one of the games that I focused on. And it was blatant pass interference. But I think the unfortunate thing is you run into referees tend to swallow their whistles. They tend to swallow the whistle when it comes to situations like that. They don't want to determine the outcome of the game. And if they would have thrown pass interference, it would have made the outcome of the game, because then the Falcons have a chance for the game winning field goal. But in that situation, you throw the damn play. It was blatant. And now it's just, you know, now the Falcons are two games back for home field over the Vikings and the Cowboys and the Seahawks. They're a game and a game and a half back now. So the Falcons go from tied for the number two seed in the NFC to now they are they're the lowest seed when it comes to division winners. They're the fourth seed at the moment, all because of that call. And not saying that the field goal would have been made, but it would have been a very makeable field goal if they would have called pass interference. So that's my thought on it. The referees did definitely screw up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, like I said, my last 2 days, it's kind of like Atlanta Falcons got kicked right in the you-know-whats, and that's kind of how I feel here the last couple of days. So, my hearts go out to him, but that's my Pooh the Bet award. I think you made a great point. Referees don't want to be the one to say, "Oh, but Evan, that was so blatant." I mean, and yeah. I know the game is at full speed, but yeah, here's, and I said this, and I know we're in archive time. I'm making up for my lost time. Julio Jones is such a great athlete that he got his left hand up, and he darn near made a one-handed catch. I think if he's not even close, and if he does one thing that I hate, which is kind of flop and just go down there, he may get the call. But Julio Jones is such a great athlete and a competitor that he went up with that one arm to try to make the catch. And I think that was actually a downfall for him because he's so athletic. Had he just flopped once Richard Sherman grabbed his arm and went to the ground, they probably would have called it. And so I don't think that's fair, but I think that's part of what happened, is you have a guy competing, knows the game's on the line, he's going to go up with one hand and try to catch the ball. And I think that was his downfall, because it looked like he made a great effort at the ball, and the referee may have been blocked, his view may have been obstructed because of Julio Jones and the way that the play happened, and he saw his arm go up. He couldn't tell. But there's so many officials on the field, I don't know how they missed it. So, but with that said, everyone, I hope everybody's having a great week. And if anybody has any good luck, Evan, send it my way, please. Because they say things come in three. They say things come in three, though, and I've had a Monday bad day, a Tuesday bad day. I don't need a Wednesday bad day. But, hey, maybe my good luck will then come back on Thursday and the Packers will win. We can hope. We can hope for something like that. But with that said, I know we're in archive time. Great show tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Troy is going to try to make it at the beginning of the show, Evan. That's going to be my goal, to try and make it at 11 o'clock.
The Packers tomorrow, so.
Yeah, exactly. But with that said, everyone, I hope Evan entertained you for the 20-some minutes that he did until I came on the show. Glad I could come in at the end and give out my Pooh Ball Award. With that said, fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. For Evan with Allison, I am Troy Otradovic. We'll catch you tomorrow night, everyone. Have a good night.